This is the Hidden Killers Podcast with Tony Bruschi and continuing coverage of the case against Brian Koberger.
What drives a man who studied the criminal mind to become the suspect of one of the most brutal college town murders in recent memory? That's the riddle at the center of the Brian Koberger case, a PhD student in criminology, allegedly obsessed with a serial killer, accused of planning and executing the murders of four University of Idaho students, and in doing so, some say with eerie precision. But now, a new controversial theory is gaining traction from Howard Bloom. Was Koberger trying to impress someone? Not a girlfriend, not a peer, but his former professor, who we've had on this show many times, Dr. Catherine Ramsland, one of the world's foremost experts in serial killers. He studied under her. It sounds like the plot of a dark Netflix drama, but it's a theory that Howard Bloom is taking to his articles. It's making its way into serious discussion, fueled by unanswered questions, a lack of clear motive, and some eyebrow-raising patterns in his behavior. Joining us is someone who knows a thing or two about decoding motive and delusion, retired FBI Special Agent Robin Dreek, former chief of the Counterintelligence Behavioral Analysis Program. I was surprised when I saw this one, Robin, but I know you and me both really respect his writing and his reporting, so I thought, let's discuss. From a behavioral standpoint, how plausible is it that a man like Koberger would commit an act this extreme, not out of hatred or revenge, or being the guys who are obsessed with women but hate women, an incel, but yep, to try to gain the admiration of someone he saw as a mentor? This is Howard Bloom's theory at this moment in time. He just published on Airmail. What's your thoughts? I found this to be very intriguing.
Yeah, anytime Howard Bloom talks, I give it a listen. I pay attention. Mm-hmm. He wrote a great book. He did a lot of great deep diving with the people and the personalities involved in this. That being said, you know, anytime you hear a new theory go out there, and I apologize, Tony, and to the audience, I am the boring guy. I don't get emotional on these things. I was like, oh, that's interesting. Let's look at the data. Let's look at the science. Let's look at the law of probabilities and see what fits or doesn't fit and see if we can establish an arc mm-hmm. of probability. And if you're looking at an arc of probability, we have to make a couple assumptions here. One, the greatest leap here we are going to make is that let's assume, because we haven't done a psychological study on him, I'm not a licensed clinician, but if he is high on psychopathy, I think this theory is not plausible. And here's why. And we've chatted about this before. Psychopaths, when you're high on psychopathy, they don't do things to impress others. They do it for pure sport and grandiosity internally. And so the notion of him being needy enough to seek the approval of others would require that. And also then, well, let's look at data points in his life from statements and what others are reporting on him. Has he ever sought that kind of affirmation and validation from others external to himself, or has it always been internal? There's low data on that. And so I'm not thinking, again, if he is high on psychopathy, it's not a likelihood. It doesn't mean it's outlawed. It doesn't mean it's not a possibility. Anything's a possibility until, you know, we have more data. But I'm thinking it's low likelihood if he's high in psychopathy.
And that's the thing we just don't know the answer to. We know right. that he, you know, has autism. Again, that does not mean psychopathy by any stretch
of the imagination.
Well,
maybe, Tony, even autism, yeah. As I understand it, and correct yeah. me if I'm wrong on this, mm-hmm. It was just conjecture. I did not, like, last I'd heard on this, he actually hadn't been tested for autism.
He has now.
He has now. Okay.
We have official, or the court has official documentation okay. now that he does.
My apologies yeah. again. That's no. why I was just double
checking. Initially, they came with no receipts. But right. now they have receipts. And okay, look, he's been diagnosed. Here's what you got. But again, none of it. Like, autism does not mean that you don't have, you know, cognitive skills to nope. to make reason right or wrong. I mean, I would guess, honestly, probably a massive, massive chunk of our population, more than half, is on the spectrum and undiagnosed. And there's nothing wrong with that. It's just how brains work in different ways. Some can go mm-hmm. very far this way. Some can go very far that way. And it kind of makes you who you are. But the idea of this, I wouldn't say it's extremely far out there, because there are other cases right. where you have people who, in their twisted mind, make this out to be something to impress someone, whether it be a love interest. And I don't know that if I don't think Howard Bloom is implying that all the way, but more so that Catherine was someone who he was studying directly under, literally same classroom, just studying directly under. They're communicating directly while he's studying under her. And that, you know, he found her to be so enthralling, so interesting, so much at the top of her game, an expert in this field, that he felt a draw to, and mm-hmm. that pulling this off, maybe, again, this is all conjecture, pulling this off would maybe be something that could really impress her, and maybe even take it a step further than she went with her research into BTK. I mean, she got right down to the nitty gritty, got inside of the mind of Dennis Rader, and revealed a ton of things that we had not heard before about Dennis in terms of his in terms of our understanding of a serial killer and what makes that individual tick. That's what I'm wondering is, did he think, and I've been saying this from the beginning, was this all a lesson for himself? Was this in some way, shape, or form him wanting to go do this, get this experience, because in his mind, that would make her, or make him, a better investigator once he got to that level in his career, because he went out and did that himself, and he was just going to sweep that under the rug. I don't know. Like, if he did think he was going to do it to impress her, that's a whole other ball of insanity, because you think you're going to impress Dr. Catherine Ramblin by killing people? I don't think that's going to be her reaction.
So you saw my nonverbals as you're talking there, as I did one of these. This is the, like Robin yeah. having a kind of a new epiphany as yeah. you're describing yeah. this. All right, so I'm going to modify my response a bit on this, because here's what I'm thinking, Tony.
Yeah.
Here's where I'm going to make his leap kind of fit what I had just said. So let's assume that this was the motive. And Howard's correct on this. My initial, and I'm going to own my mistaken interpretation. My initial interpretation was he was doing this to outwardly impress her, like she would find out he did it and impress her.
Mm-hmm.
But based on what I just said, remember, if he is high on psychopathy, it's all about internal things. It's all about also for psychopathy. And people that are going for extra stimulus, that we're saying that is that why psychopaths do what they do, and they have the fantasization. So this could fit if in his fantasy, internally, he became a study of his professor, even though he's unknown to her. In other words, he could pull off this crime and she would be enamored with this new serial killer that got away with it, even though she doesn't know the identity is.
And surprise, it's one of your students. It's like, it's somebody you are close with and you know. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I don't know. I mean,
so again, I'm just kind of reversing the context here. Let's put ourselves, as challenging as it is, in his mind. Let's do that leap of conjecture of high psychopathy. And no need for external validation. In other words, he doesn't need to let her know she did it to impress her. Mm-hmm. Impressing her would be the type of serial killer that would garner her attention, mm-hmm. that she would then teach in class mm-hmm. as a classic serial killer that got away with it. That might fit that fantasy narrative. Because remember, especially when he's taking, again, we're making so many conjecture jumps. He takes that selfie. You know, in the shower, that was for him, you know, and so now yeah. part of his, because remember, he didn't stage anything that allowed mm-hmm. him to go back and relive this moment to get that rush he's looking for.
Mm-hmm.
But if he's now studying with and partnered with a researcher, a doctor that he admires, that makes that she is studying, he will get that rush every time she references him, every time she references the case.
He was actively studying under her when he did this.
Yes. And so I bet you, boy, I don't bet you, but it would be interesting to see if part of, again, I don't know if it's conscious or unconscious, you know, when people are doing these things, predators are generally unconscious. So if he's studying under her, this is in the news. I'm sure that if you are looking for an adrenaline rush of some sort of emotional response that he's craving, you know, part of that was the killing itself, but the other part was the daily interaction he's going to have when she is talking about the case with him.
And with that, he would be able to garner insights that no one else would have, and it would make him look like a genius if he was able to come up with information that no one else knew.
Yeah.
But it would be just assumptions like, oh my gosh, Brian, look, you're right at that. Look, I just kind of came to that one right now.
Yeah. So I'm thinking, you know, from my initial interpretation that people might initially hear Howard Bloom saying he was doing it to impress her, we're automatically assuming that he's looking to say, hey, look at me, professor, you know, look what I did. No, I don't think that's the level that he was thinking. Again, pure conjecture this is it, if he's guilty and all that. But if this has a thread of truth and reality, it's going to be on a different kind of undercurrent, I think. You know, he's going to be going for that. I mean, just think, you know, he pulled off in his mind one of the greatest feats that people can do. He committed a murder and got away with it. And then if he could do another one, and he's working with someone that is so impressed with these that he's impressed with her. That would be that fuel he's looking for. That makes sense.
And I think it also makes sense too, like I've been saying, was he doing this for himself, or what was the reason for this? You know, because it seems like it was almost a study in itself for him. But if it's to impress someone that he's been studying under, and so he can hear about how smart this killer was by the person that he considers to be just, you know, the highest up in their craft of understanding these things and teaching about them and studying them, that would be probably the ultimate high for Brian Koberger. A lot of conjecture.
And so the way it works is that he wouldn't be doing it for her. So we're going psychopathy, BTK. Yeah. He was going for that grandiosity at that 30,000 foot level.
Yeah.
So the professor is a mere conduit to the 30,000 foot level, where this becomes part of a course of study. Granted, it's not about her. He wasn't doing it for anyone but himself. Sure. This was pure internal, I'm doing it for my own self. She just happens to be a very shiny screwdriver, a tool in his toolbox to get him where he needs to be. And she was giving him the emotional sparks that allowed him to say, hey, you are going to be my conduit to the things that I need to feel. And so that could, you know, Howard Bloom is an insightful guy. There is no doubt.
He is.
That's an interesting, I don't know if that's what his initial intent was with it, but here's where it is. And this is why I thought of it this way. There is something unusual and different with this relationship with the professor, because when you look at his arc of the types of relationships he has, he does not have deep, meaningful relationships with anyone. But this professor, it's a spike.
Yes. And it's on this topic specifically.
Yes. Yes. That's very insightful.
I feel really bad for Catherine Ramsland that her name's even being drug into this. And in no way am I saying anything negative about her. I think she's great. She's smart. And she certainly has nothing to do with someone else's choices to do something like this. But my goodness, if Howard Bloom's reporting is correct, and right now this is all based on his reporting, we have not confirmed any of this. This is just off of what he's published on Airmail. According to Howard in his reporting, I'm just kind of generalizing here. He's making accusations that he believes Catherine Ramsland was communicating with Koberger, or Koberger's communicating with her, I should say. You know, which is normal. If that's one of your students and she's a mentor to you, that would not be out of the ordinary. What makes it out of the ordinary is when that student, if it's him, goes out and kills these people and continues to communicate. He alleges that there was a string of email communications before the killings and after the killings between the two. Not that Koberger said, hey, by the way, I just killed these kids. What do you think? Do I get a gold star on the wall? But just that there was some sort of thing going on there. He also alleges that once Koberger was caught, that Catherine was in communications with Koberger's mother, trying to help them work through this mentally, hey, let's beat this, but more of a, how can I help you? I've been in this world before. Let me help you as a resource. Nothing negative to Catherine Ramsland, but if those emails existed, And I don't know that they do. Howard Bloom seems to think that they do. And if they come out in court, that would show a motive. And I'm assuming that if on the digital devices that they have taken from Koberger, like I said, there's a lot we don't know about back here that could come to light in the trial if, in fact, these things exist.
Yeah.
What do you think is in those emails? Again, this is pure conjecture and speculation, but what do you think we would find in those emails from him to her leading up to the killing and then maybe right after?
Hard to kind of guess what would be leading to the killing. I would think, so boy, we've taken like 50 million conjecture leads.
Yeah, we're down a rabbit hole here.
Oh boy, and I'm not a conspiracy guy either. Our thought experiment is on. Mm-hmm. And so I would imagine if our really super hypothetical theory holds true and there's some and any semblance, I think the truth is always a bunch of data points that are all congruent. You know, mm-hmm. I think there's a lot of reasons for motives. But if she plays a part in it, like we're hypothesizing, then I would think the emails afterwards would be seeking her thoughts and opinions on what she thinks about the murder, what she thinks about the motives. And I'd imagine that he is looking for what she thinks about it, how well it was performed, you know, and things like that. I would then think after she offered her opinions, he would be adding maybe a few of his own, you know, to kind of say, hey, look, I have some pretty insightful thoughts on this as well. If indeed that's exactly what's there, wouldn't that be interesting? And one further point that I want to highlight about her, which says how different she is from Koberger on this, you know, to her benefit, is people that are actually high on empathy and with a lot of compassion are take the actions that she took with the family. Mm-hmm. You know, she's emotionally vested in one of her students that she wants to see be successful that might have seen him struggling with interactions. And she saw a spark that she, as a great teacher, was trying to ignite and fuel in a healthy way. So I definitely feel for her as well.
Yeah. She refuses to talk about the case. And simply be, you know, because he was her student and there's confidentiality there. If any of this is true, even more reason, you know,
Think about this too. Put our deep context of her. I mean, how hard would that be? How hard would you have to look in the mirror as well? You know, if you were the professor for the student that pulled this off, that's got to be, you know, it destroys your own personal narrative as well, which we do not like to face, you know? And so that's why I think it's important for people in light of all this, if again, we'll see how the trial goes, you know, to give her a lot of grace because—
Oh, completely.
Feel very, very— I mean, I can only imagine how she feels now and when and if he gets convicted, it's going to even be worse.
Yeah. And no way, again, are we in any way insinuating anything negative about Katherine Ramsland? She, you know, there's nothing wrong there.
You know, when people do horrendous things like this, there's so many destroyed lives on all sides.
Sure. Even if Howard Bloom's assumptions here or accusations are completely incorrect and there is no communication, you know, and he's not doing this for that reason. She was his professor leading right up to this. I'm going to guess, or I'd honestly be very surprised if she was not called as a witness in this trial.
I agree. I think she will be.
Yeah. To get kind of a mindset of what Koberger was like and to get her perceptions on that, because that would be very valuable, I would think, in this. I'm going to guess you're going to see students even of his testify to, okay, the day after this happened and he came into class and the accusations are he was a little less shaved, a little more scrubby, and a little more laid back than ever before. We're going to hear testimony to that as well. It's a fascinating angle on this. I mean, you do have, you know, you go back, John Hinckley Jr. is the one I think of with the Reagan attempt for trying to impress Jodie Foster. You get people in these modes that are, you know, I would say he was a little bit more psychopath, maybe even than Koberger, but it does happen. There are people that go out and kill thinking that somehow they're going to impress someone. How do you think it stacks up against the other motive, the incel area, which we had been talking about for quite a bit, where there's this deep hatred towards women, you had this coming basically in his mind and he was acting out in that way. That to me has seemed very logical as well, but I don't know. Howard's got a point here.
I think that incel angle is a part of a whole. I think it doesn't really strike me as the huge motivator, but again, it's a part of the whole. Mm-hmm. I think this thing with the professor, I think, has a lot more legs to it because it really it's a strong relationship, you know, and he doesn't have strong relationships. So we don't know what it is, but there's definitely something there that I hadn't considered. And that's why I think it's really good when people like Howard bring these things up, because think about this. I'm curious if Howard hadn't put this out there, would the prosecution even think to look at those emails, if there are emails, in the same light?
Well, they're certainly going to be looking for him now.
Yeah, exactly. Because now, because every time something, because here's what we do. You know, when you're, one of the reasons why I love looking at behavior arcs for everyone and everything is because we're looking for that normal pattern so we can recognize when something stands out. And when something stands out, we want to say what makes that stand out. What was there that caused this thing? And the relationship with her is something that stands out. Mm-hmm. And so now we have to figure out, how does this new thing that stands out, how does that fit a part of a pattern in a whole? Mm-hmm. And I think with his theory, I think it gives us an area to focus on that we might not have focused on before. I wasn't focusing on this before. And then all of a sudden he comes out with a theory and is like, that doesn't quite fit the way he was saying it, but maybe it fits this way. Cause now kind of all the other pieces start falling. It's like when you're putting a puzzle together. Yeah. And all of a sudden you fit that one piece in there and all of a sudden, well, a ton of other pieces all of a sudden make sense.
And Howard's been studying all the pieces. Like, yes. He knows those pieces of that puzzle well. I mean, I think we do pretty good. He's like, he could like take a piece of the puzzle and go, oh, this one fits in the upper left corner, because he knows where they all go. And that would then give you a little more knowledge and probably a little more insight, you know, to theorize on some of these things and see where things may fit better than most would on the outside. And that's where I'm really wondering where he came to that conclusion, or if he has inside knowledge, because he usually does. A lot of the things he says about cases that, you know, this is probably going to come out. He doesn't usually open his mouth and say something that is going to be completely out there and not be legit. So I don't even like really view this as a conspiracy or anything. This just seems to point to more of an answer of, hey, the motive is right here, guys. Like, maybe it really is something like this. The only other question I would have about this, and this again, just to be complete conjecture, because we don't know if A, this ever even happened, and B, what the motive would be or what the thought process would be on the part of Ramsland, is if she was reaching out to the family after this happened, after she knew that Koberger was the main suspect in this, why reach out to the family? Is that because you just have some insight and you can help them kind of navigate their way through it? Or is it more like, shit, I kind of suspected, you know, not necessarily suspected, but it's kind of one of those things where if you're in a workplace and you make the comment of, okay, who could go postal here any day, you kind of pick somebody out and go, yeah, that's the guy I would expect it to do. It makes me wonder if she kind of thought, maybe there's potential here for him to do something like this. And really kind of thought when she heard that news, oh, maybe I'm surprised, but I'm not so surprised. I don't know. I mean, that's pure conjecture. And so the motivation for reaching out to the family.
So I don't have much data on her, but if we look at, so let's just do a 30,000 foot look on title and position that she has. So she's a PhD and she's a researcher. Mm-hmm. Researchers are always looking for data. And I would imagine that, you know, but she's also a human being. She's compassionate. So I think that she's probably, there's multiple reasons why she did it. One is to actually because she does care and she has empathy, and also because she's trying to take in data to understand, is this plausible? Is it possible? And also maybe fear, you know, to help rationalize. Maybe there's nothing here. So I think it was probably a combination of all things. But at the core of who she is for a long time of her life arc is she's a researcher.
Yeah.
And so researchers taking data and talking to the family is going to give her more data.
You know, eventually I'm sure she's going to talk about this on her own terms. And that's going to be very fascinating, because this is something where she... fortunately and unfortunately, fortunately for being able to study broken brains like this, she had a first class ticket to be right front and center with someone who then carried out one of the worst massacres that we've seen in a long time. That's going to be fascinating from her standpoint. To hear the insight that she might have of anything she noticed leading up to this, or if there was any signs. That's going to be very interesting, specifically from her perspective. Got to be traumatizing, I would think, but I mean, she's seen a lot, so I don't know. I can't speak for how she's handling it, but that will be very interesting to hear her words at the end of the day.
Yeah, it definitely will be. And to Howard Bloom as well, the one of the areas that's interesting was, like you said, he's got a lot of reps. He's got a lot of data points that he's taken in. But it will also, I think that's why his initial statement and theory about doing it for her, to impress her, came in from on the top side of the arc of normal human behavior for people looking for outside validation. He doesn't necessarily have reps on the undercurrent of what psychopathy is, and that's why he wasn't looking at it for what Koberger would get out of it, kind of like what we're exploring here. So I think he's spot on because of his research and his reps in doing that, but maybe he doesn't have reps in dealing with really, really abnormal people. But he just a phenomenal job there. If nothing else, a new way to kind of look at this for investigators and prosecutors.
Yeah, I would completely agree without a doubt. This is going to be fascinating.
It is interesting.
Craving nonstop true crime updates? Press subscribe now and get the latest cases, analysis, and expert commentary delivered straight to your feed. Only from the Hidden Killers podcast and True Crime Today.
Prescription products require completion of an online medication consultation with an independent healthcare provider through the LifeMD platform and are only available if prescribed. Subscription required. Individual results may vary. Additional restrictions apply at LifeMD.com. Read all warnings before using GLP-1s. Side effects may include a risk of thyroid C-cell tumors. Do not use GLP-1s if you or your family have a history of thyroid cancer.
Confused on where to start with weight loss medication? See the lowest prices available with or without insurance for Wegovy, Zepbound, and more at TryLifeMD.com. 95% of LifeMD patients said starting their weight loss journey was simple. Listen to Tara's story after losing 42 pounds.
You just take your shot. It doesn't feel like you're on a diet. What I wasn't expecting it to do was to shut off the food noise. I had gone from 237 to 195. This was life-altering, and if I can do it, I feel like anybody can do it.
Get your free insurance benefits check in minutes right now at TryLifeMD.com. Nearly 96% of patients said they would recommend the LifeMD program to anyone who wants to lose weight. Get started right now at TryLifeMD.com. That's TryLifeMD.com.
If you're shopping while working, eating, or even listening to this podcast, then you know and love the thrill of a deal. But are you getting the deal and cash back? Rakuten shoppers do. They get the brands they love, savings, and cash back. And you can get it too. Start getting cash back at your favorite stores like Target, Nike, and Instacart. Stack sales on top of cash back and feel what it's like to know you're maximizing the savings. It's easy to use, and you can get your cash back sent to you through PayPal or check. The idea is simple. Stores pay Rakuten for sending them shoppers, and Rakuten shares the money with you as cash back. Download the free Rakuten app or go to Rakuten.com to start saving today. It's the most rewarding way to shop. That's Rakuten, Rakuten.com.